We're recording. All right. Welcome, everyone, to the May 15th regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. We had an executive session before, so we've already called the roll. So at this point, we will say our Pledge of Allegiance. And there's the flag right back there. Right in the back. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So we need a motion to adopt the agenda.
So moved.
Mrs. Powers, we have a second.
Second.
Mr. Smith. All right. Mr. Johnson's papers are flying around. Mrs. Smith motioned and Mrs. Powers motioned and Mr. Smith second the motion to approve the agenda. Can we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion passed. Now we move on to Employee of the Month for both April and May. Mrs. Mankin?
Not sure how we want to do this. Well, just come up front here. First of all, employee of the month for April. Is Paula here? She's not. Well, I will go ahead and read why Paula was recommended for this and make sure that she receives it. Paula Marple is an outstanding high school employee, and I believe she should be recognized as a classified employee of the month. Sometimes you don't realize how valued someone is until they are no longer around. Paula was on an extended leave, and while she was gone, things weren't quite the same around many parts of the school. I feel we take for granted our custodian staff at times, and when Paula was gone, there was no question things were not done up to Paula's standards. We became accustomed to her high standards and her excellence in keeping the school well maintained. So congratulations to Paula. Gail Fanning, come on up. I always make you stand here and embarrass you. So. But we don't have quite the same sense. You can just turn and look at the crowd. Gail, I can tell you, works in the board office and certainly is a smiling, pleasant face every day to Andy and I. Actually, over dinner, we're just talking about attributes of that entire department, and certainly Gail's a highlight for us. So these were comments that her peers made about her. Gail is very knowledgeable of every aspect of her position. It is obvious that she is a very conscientious employee. I appreciate that Gail is always friendly and respectful. Anytime I've had to call and ask a question, she's gone above and beyond to help me. She explained things in a manner that's easy to understand, and I always feel welcome to go to her with anything. Gail is a very vital asset to our district. Congratulations.
Diane, can I please welcome you? Sorry. Diane works in the treasurer's office, so I do just want to say that me being new to the district, I started in January, and as the board's well aware, we were short-staffed for about 2 months, and Gail has just been instrumental in keeping me going and just working extra with a great attitude, just willing to do anything. I'd be remiss if I didn't also mention Pam Forder and Jen Lewis in the treasurer's office. I think it's just a great team, and it's really helped carry us through this difficult time, new boss, short staff, so it's been very, very good.
Thank you, Gail. All right, moving on to presentations. We're now going to have, we need a motion to approve the employees of the month. I'll motion. A second?
Mr. Smith.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. And now we'll have a presentation from Edgewood Elementary on their Common Core in their building. Mr. Langles.
All right. Getting set up here
there he is.
Quick.
Okay.
I do apologize about deceiving everyone.
But like I said, out in the hallway, we are taking bids. What we wanted to do this evening, first off, let me introduce Kathy Savage. Kathy Savage is an instructional coach here, literacy expert. She works here both at Edgewood Elementary and Mill Valley Elementary. So thank you, Kathy, for being here. I'm John Zalanghouse. I'm the principal here at Edgewood Elementary. And thank you, everybody, for coming out. I know you're excited about my presentation, so thank you for the support. But what we're going to talk about tonight is kind of what we do with data here at Edgewood Elementary and how we make decisions, but also about some opportunities that we want to give our kids as well. First off, opportunities. Something that we want to do is make sure our kids have opportunities to access online learning. And sometimes that can be a challenge at an elementary level to make it meaningful and relevant for kids. So what we did is we collaborated together as a team here at Edgewood, and we came up with some ideas, and we decided together as a team to implement those. And that's a collaboration between staff and administration. And we decided to go with the Reading Eggs program for our K-1-2 kids, which is a very phonemic-based, web-based program that kids can utilize anywhere there's internet access. Anytime, anywhere access. And for our students who do not have internet access at home, we really encourage the families to utilize our local resources, like at the public library. So many of our families have been going there too. And for grades 3 and 4, what we've done is we purchased Study Island program for both mathematics and reading for both grades 3 and 4. And we implemented this because we just didn't want to jump in. We wanted to make sure it was a good purchase, research-based. We wanted to make sure staff understood expectations. They bought in. They wanted to do this. Our kids got excited for it. And we implemented it in November. And since November, Edgewood students in grades 3 and 4 have correctly answered 102,000 questions. So that's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And we're very proud of our kids. But again, that gives them that online access, both for at school and at home practice. Because I know as parents, sometimes we struggle with how can we help our kids, especially with some basic reading skills, because not all of us have been trained in basic reading skills. So this online tool gives that avenue there. So we're excited. But then we're going to segue now into our data. And how do we make decisions? How do you look at data? Because I know people hear about data. What do you do with it? How do you make decisions? So that's what Kathy and I are going to talk about. For instance, this is a sample data wall. Not real kids. Names are up here. Okay. We put in mock names. We put in mock teacher names. Now, the data is real, though. But again, the names are not. They are fake. We're not violating any confidentiality. All right. But what's exciting is, as you can see, this is a spreadsheet with basic filters at the top, to where you can filter by last name alphabetically, front to back. You can sort by teacher name. If you just want to see one teacher, we can just bring up one teacher's name, and we can look at that teacher's specific data. Now you're like, well, hey, where's the data at? What are you looking at? Well, that's where this comes into play. As you can see, we have a lot of data. All right. Well, what do you do with all that green, red, and yellow? What does that mean? Well, red means, hey, the kid needs some help. They're not meeting our district expectations at this time. Yellow means, hey, they're doing a great job. They're where we need them to be. Green is, they're exceeding our expectations at this time. What are we going to do to continue to push them even further? So what's exciting is our teachers, they fill out our data sheets and they turn them in, and then we enter our data at our specific benchmark periods. And then Kathy and I collaborate, and we look at different skill sets. And we can sort by our highest scores to lowest scores, or lowest scores to our highest scores. And then we can get percentages. What percentage of our third graders are meeting expectations? What percentage of our kindergartners are meeting expectations in this skill set or this skill set? So we have hard data to look at. Well, great. You have that data. You know how many kids are meeting the expectation. But what's that next step? What are you going to do about it? Well, that's where we transition into our data meetings. And Mrs. Savage, if you would want to start off and talk about that.
Okay, so what we do with our data meetings, we have grade level meetings, and our teachers come together with Jonathan and myself and our math coach. And we look at where our students started out, what baseline data we have, and then we look at our benchmarks each time that we progress monitor. And we look to see, like you can see up here in November, our baseline for the OAA practice was 42%. So that was an area where, as a grade level, we felt like we wanted to look and see how we could support students better so that they could improve their progress. So we had a discussion. We have collegial conversations, talk about some things that we're doing. Teachers, we look at specific class data for teachers, and if things are looking good, they share what they're doing so that it can support the other teachers on their team. And we decide, you know, is this something that we want as a grade level to focus on for an intervention so that we can make sure that these students are making progress. So if you look at OAA in November, we were at 42%. And so we talked about what that OAA practice looked like. And it's what we call a chunk and chew. And so we looked at the questions that were asked, and we looked at how the students were expected to respond and what kind of thinking was involved with those answers. And so teachers vocalize, you know, we really feel like they need help with extended response. Their written responses, you know, they always every year struggle with it. Or vocabulary is always an issue. You know, they get to those vocabulary questions and they just don't know how, what strategies to use. And so we talked about a couple of different things that we could do to address those issues as a grade level. And every teacher in that grade level implemented those interventions. And a lot of times that's where I come in as the coach. I have lots of resources, and I have the time to research and to find materials and things that the teachers can use that's going to support them. So we created a list of vocabulary words that the students are exposed to on OAA, and we also kind of looked at PARC because that's what's coming down the pike. And we just created a word list that the teachers could use to focus on teaching what those words mean and how the students are going to use those when they take, you know, certain assessments or when they come across those in just everyday reading and writing. And then another thing that we did is I took, as a literacy coach, we do a lot of literacy collaborative things because that's what our Tier 1 instruction is. And so I kind of combine my knowledge with literacy collaborative along with the district resources that we have, and I create interventions that model the activities that they're going to see on the OAA, but it gives them an opportunity to go through that process with their teacher and really dive into that deep thinking so that they are able to then independently transfer that knowledge and those strategies when they're working independently. So as you can see, we did the interventions, and then we did another check in January. When we came back, 71% of our students were able to meet that benchmark that we were looking at. So we had some celebration with our conversations and decided, you know, do we want to continue doing this? Do we want to look at other questions they struggle with and keep doing this to help make sure that they're successful? So as you can see, their growth is continuing, and it's amazing. So
it is exciting. We started at 42%, jumped up to 71%, 29% increase. When you look at Tier 1 interventions, it's a tremendous increase. And then continuing that growth by 17% to 88. The typical benchmark that you shoot for a Tier 1 typical grade level instruction is 80%, and they're exceeding that as of March. And again, I just don't want you to think, well, that's an OAA intervention. We're using other skills. We look at other data, and we have those same conversations around it as well. And these skills that we've implemented due to the OAA are skills that kids can use in everyday reading, whether they're taking an assessment or not. They'll be able to use in a business office someday. They'll be able to use in a law office or a doctor's office, or they'll be able to use a Honda. They'll be able to use anywhere these skills and strategies that we're teaching them. So that's an exciting piece. And two, you know, we think about, for instance, affricates. I'm not going to bore you with what an affricate is in the basic world of reading, okay? But that stood out for first grade. This is first grade. This is a basic reading skill, breaking and tearing apart those basic skills. 35% of our kids were meeting the benchmark in November. We had a conversation. We were actually surprised the percentage was that high in November because of where that is on that literacy ladder. And then, hey, 67% of our kids in January were meeting the benchmark in Africa. We wish it was a little bit higher. So we implemented a Savage specially designed intervention. Mrs. Savage here. We implemented this intervention. We reassessed to see how our kids were doing. And 81% of our kids were meeting the benchmark. Again, 80% is that goal that you shoot for. But again, this is just a little taste of what we do on a regular basis and how we use data to make decisions. And we track to see if we get results because of that. If we do, wonderful. How can we make it better? If we don't, what are we going to do different to get a different result? And the conversations that we've had this year have just been wonderful.
And one of the reasons, you know, we focused on applicants was because we noticed at second grade when we had our data meeting that second graders were at 35% still. And we're thinking, something's not right because this is a first grade skill. They should have that under their belts by the time they're in second grade. Well, what we realized was, you know, second grade teachers didn't have the resources that they could readily get their hands on to do those intervention lessons. And so I was able to dig into the first grade stuff, create those lessons. They taught them, and their percentage jumped crazy. It was amazing. And so we thought, you know, we need to make sure first grade's doing what they need to do because that they're responsible for that, you know, that learning and that skill. And so we wanted to make sure we supported them so that next year when they get to second grade, this may or may not be a problem. And if it is a problem still, teachers know right away, you know what, I did this last year, I'm going to do it again because it worked. And they'll do that on their own. So,
because truly what happens over time, year two, year three, year four, what transforms and what happens is we meet still as grade levels. We have grade level data meetings. We implement grade level tier one interventions to attack certain skills. But what happens, though, as well, is when the teacher gets the data wall emailed to them and they do their data sort and they look at their class, their specific kids, what happens as well is they can get targeted on specific kids and specific skill sets, and they make those own instructional decisions within their own classroom. This just gives them the easy avenue to make those quick decisions so they can spend their time on planning and not analyzing data. So it's pretty exciting. The teachers have really bought in and tasted the success from this hard work that they do and tough conversations that are had, but it's definitely benefiting our students. And I don't want you to think, though, it's all the time it's an instructional strategy about advocates or this certain standard from the Common Core. We've seen some awesome results with a motivational intervention for our kindergarten students. And we implemented the Number Ninja and Word Wizard intervention to help motivate our kindergartners to practice more at home and to work their way up to the expectations that we have. And the kids are really stepping up because, man, they want that Number Ninja out in the hallway. Yeah. And they want to be a word wizard and get their certificate.
Yeah, and if they know all of their 42 kindergarten sight words, which is the ultimate goal, then they get to go see Mr. Allen's office and he presents them with a word wizard certificate and they get their word wizard hat out there and it makes a huge difference. I mean, they're begging every day, let's do our sight words, let's practice, I want to earn my word wizard. So it's motivational and it's instructional strategies. But it works.
So really impressed. I'm really impressed with the Edgewood staff. I'm really impressed with the Marysville staff. Again, this is my first year here at Marysville. I can't say enough about this district. It's an amazing district. I can speak specifically to Edgewood, just amazing things that they're doing here. So that's the end of our presentation, unless there's any questions right now. Not everybody at once.
So Jonathan, I always have a question. So as you look at, obviously, third grade reading guarantee coming mm-hmm. into this year, mm-hmm. and certainly you've done a fantastic job of studying mm-hmm. your data, so I'm not going to hesitate in asking, how many kids are you concerned won't make the third grade reading guarantee in Edgewood, at Edgewood?
Well, back in November, 18, at this point, 2. But we'll get the results back and we'll see. We're confident based on our data. We've really narrowed it down to two students that we're a little bit worried about, especially after the Terranova 3 alternative assessment that we give next week. There's two students that we're concerned about, so we've directed additional help and assistance to these two students to see if I can help them get over the edge. But also Marysville as a district doing wonderful things too with offering a summer reading program for grade 3 students at no cost to give kids that are identified at risk of being retained due to new legislation an opportunity for that additional help So that's just a great thing to district. So, and two, you know, that's where we keep track of who's getting support, who's not getting support. When we switch kids out of reading intervention specialists, and how do we get kids in to see a reading intervention specialist for that extra guided reading group or skill-specific intervention. So it's addressing powerful conversations.
And on the flip side of that, looking at those students who are high achievers, you know, we can look across and say, oh, they're not moving. I mean, yes, they're in the green, and they've been in the green, but they're not making the growth that we would expect. And so, you know, we're accountable for those students, too. And so it opens up conversations of how are we going to support these learners as well.
It really gets us to look at each kid, and every kid needs to be taken as far as possible during that school year, no matter where they're at, whether they're below expectations, at expectations, or above. Our goal is to push every kid as far as possible. And this is just a tool that helps us do that. And there's other tools out there that people use, and they work perfectly well. And people are able to make wonderful decisions. This is just something that we work.
It's pretty obvious it's working for you, so that's, I mean, it's exciting. It really is exciting.
Like he mentioned, yeah. He joked about this being exciting earlier. It is extremely exciting, and as a coach, right. I see these teachers talk to each other and have conversations, and, well, gosh, what are you doing? I need help, and never before has that been something where someone's saying, you know, I totally stink at this, and what are you doing? Because I need to, you know, help me. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it's all about.
I mean, you see, the teachers are asking the kids, the students, to collaborate and work in teams. Mm-hmm. And so it just makes sense that the teachers are doing the same thing. They're modeling the same behavior that they want the kids to follow.
It really allows us to make informative decisions, too, on where do we focus our literacy coach? Where do we focus our math coach? The data shows us the path where we need to point them. And then they attack, and they support, and they build up those skills, and build up teaching skills around it. So you're taking care of that skill. You're taking care of that professional development. What other data piece do we need to look at now and target and be intentional with what we're doing? And then over time, you're attacking each area, and then you'll have less areas to worry about over time. Mm-hmm. It just takes time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get there.
I usually don't attack. I swoop in and hug. But
well, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Yeah. And also, again, I always forget to do this. Thank you very much for hosting our meeting tonight.
Yes.
I appreciate you opening up the building for us.
Hey, you know what? We
have Word Wizard certificates for you with your name on them if you'd like to take those home.
Of course. Yeah.
It's so crowded. We're
getting on the chairs and everything. We're just going to.
Okay. Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mrs. Mankins, you're next with the superintendent's report.
Craig's out there in the hallway as well. I normally start with Craig and Kathy, so whichever one would like to go first with
Kathy.
Okay, Kathy. Kathy will be giving us.
This is only because he wants to show me up.
Oh, again, right?
So I want to talk a little bit about what we've done this month because our focus has shifted a little bit to organizing professional development and doing some of the things that will get kids into the building. I want to review, and I even brought this. I never bring notes, but I did want to forget all of the trainings that the teachers are slated to attend because I think it's impressive, and it really speaks to the fact that we are being purposeful about embedding STEM pedagogy into everything that we do with our students next year. So in June, some has happened in May, and some will happen in August, but we have teachers that are attending the Math Design Collaborative and the Literacy Design Collaborative, which is really training to get rigorous, standards-based courses and rubrics aligned with the Common Core, and so that's what we will be doing. We have teachers that are going to Capstone Communication as we start to think about how we will build capstone projects for our seniors, creating a culture of STEM, designing your own standards-based STEM lessons, Engineering by Design, Equity in STEM, How Do You Get Them Ready, which is all about early college training, problem-based learning, blended learning, and scientific inquiry and engineering design. So we have targeted which teachers need some of that. Like I have teachers like Jason Worth doesn't need blended learning. He's going to problem-based learning. So we've been thoughtful about what they already have and what they need to do to be ready to open. we just attended this week. We were at the Ohio STEM Conference in Cincinnati and did basically the same thing. People went to the things that they felt would benefit, and then our plan was to regroup, share out what we had, and then put together some of that into our work plan on how we open next fall. The other things that we've worked on a little bit is we have a Summer Bridge program, and it's a two-day program in June for all of our students to come together, meet their teachers, review a lot about what a college-going culture is like. What is it going to be like to attend an early college, high school, and then have a design challenge so that they have to work collaboratively, and that will be the basis. We will start next fall with advisory groups for all of our students, and so we're going to organize them in groups that will begin this summer and then continue in through next year. As far as outreach or communicating, I know this week Diane and I were at Workforce Consortium for the Energy Industry. I don't remember what it was, but they invited Diane to share about what we were doing in Marysville, and I think that will certainly be an ongoing relationship with these groups that can what they need in industry and what we can provide as far as a STEM education and how that aligns well. And then she stepped out and had to go to another meeting, and I also went to the Columbus Council on World Affairs where it was STEM education, and it was nice to hear us mention once again that Scott McLemore spoke and he talked about what was happening in Marysville and mentioned how our math teachers are working hard to align with real life math kind of work, and so it was a nice recognition that way too. So busy with nuts and bolts things. We have committees that are making sure we're ordering stuff that we will need for the school. We're meeting with transportation and the nuts and bolts of school. So that's been another portion of that's the only thing I'm confident about I've done up to this point. I can do this part. So I'm sort of excited that stuff's happening. All the other stuff you should be shaky about, but on top of opening the school. So that's in a nutshell what we've done this month.
Question.
Yes.
You talked about 2 days where you had a bridge workshop for the kids.
Right.
And so forth. What dates?
It's going to be June 26th and 27th, and we're holding it at Bunsell because the building won't be ready, and okay. We just need an empty space.
June 26th and 27th.
Yep. We'll send you an invitation once we get that. In fact, those are going out to parents and kids next week, I think. And get them back from the printing. They'll get both an electronic and a paper copy. So
the students will be involved in their first design challenge during that bridge time to really give them an overview of what they can expect from pedagogy.
That's something I didn't mention. That's one other thing that we're looking at, quarterly design challenges and putting those together, so they'll be in place now for students to start next year.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I don't know about Kathy, but I'm very confident. I don't want to show you.
Make it's okay.
Rivalry,
it's all right.
That point. While Chris gets me connected, I brought some photos just to give you an update on the construction project. We're well into it. We are working at fever pitch to get as much work done as possible, as quickly as possible. We're trying to get this building open in 12 weeks, and we have quite a task ahead of us. What you'll see today, if you went out there any given day, you'd see we're at about 25 to 30 folks in the building, and we'll get upwards probably of 50 or so at one time, and keep on accelerating. So I'm going to take you through a quick tour of the building, and if you have any questions, you can as you go, or but try to stand to the side here because I get to be more of a door than a window. And hopefully you can see a little bit of the photo. It's a little bright in here.
Well, yeah. Someone else can
go for me.
Where am I
going to
stand, though?
Here. She's moving.
Oh, I come over here.
Oh.
She's moving.
Oh, she's moving, so you can see.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
I didn't quite understand what you were doing.
They're doing those people.
Okay. Oh, hey.
Oh, that looks good.
Okay.
I love the cards in the dark right now. So.
Yeah. All right, so you're looking at the student worker, student lounge area, I guess we call it, and some of the terminology, I don't get into that. I just know the space I have to build, so if I can misspeak as far as what it's actually called. I have two people here, I'm sure will correct me, Samara. I'm going to give you an open environment. On one side, this side will be where the students will congregate and have an open study area. On the other side will be kind of a student or a staff lounge or staff work area as well. And throughout, you'll see the concept has been to keep the area open and kind of into the concept of a campus environment or a campus type of facility for early college building.
That's the former library.
That's the formal media center. You used to have to sit in there. That wall wasn't there, and we tore it apart. Mm-hmm. So, this is, again, an open concept. It's an open study area. So when you walk through the doors, this is what you'll see. It will look better than that when we open it.
Good.
But it'll have a nice radius wall, have some nice furnishings. And again, it's an open area, a collaboration area. That terminology is used a lot. And again, to bring folks and young folks to sit down and study and work together is the consistent theme. When we start tearing things apart, this was a bathroom, or actually two bathrooms. There's not much left of it anymore. So we're going through, and what I'm trying to depict here is we've got our mechanical and electrical contractors out there full pitch to get things in the wall and get ready for new plumbing work and new fixtures. Again, this will eventually, it's got a little stuff in the way, but this will eventually be another open work area, collaboration area for students. Again, nice open area. Behind you have a nice set of windows, brings in outside natural light. So it's a good space for kids to get together and sit and do their homework, I guess.
That's off the auditorium, so your
yes.
back is at the auditorium looking forward, if that helps you.
Yeah. I don't know, at some point we'll be able to conduct a tour and bring you folks through, maybe before the next meeting or something, we can talk to Diane. I'd love to take you through and walk you. It's one thing to see on the phone, another thing to walk through. I'd have the meetings here, but I'm not quite sure we can occupy the building. Again, we used to have doors and windows and walls in these areas, and I wasn't trying to show you pictures of the scaffolding we have there for the shoring, but again, open concept. All you see right there will go away, and it'll be open glass to the corridor, so you can see what's going in, see in, see out, bringing lots of that natural light as we can, at least to the one side. On the other side, we weren't able to do that, but it's a great space. It's going to be great having all that glass being able to see out in the world. And again, this is the corridor, as I got to remember to kind of orientate you if you think about it. The lecture hall is now behind me. I'm heading down towards the old science room, which are on the left-hand side, heading back towards the latest addition at the end of the building to the east. Everywhere, we're poking holes in walls, again, opening it up, getting it so it's a little bit more usable. The floor plan makes a lot more sense and workable for students. Not that a hole in a wall is all that interesting, but just trying to make a point. Open study area. This was just a big open area. We've already started tearing apart walls, started putting in underground utilities. Again, our plumbers are hard at work and keeping us going. And just beyond this, if you were that way, would be the courtyard area. Just to kind of give you an orientation.
It's the former IT office.
Yeah.
You didn't think of that. Mm-hmm. That room will be a project room.
Right.
So we will not be using it as a normal classroom space, but as we do design challenges, that's where students will take their supplies, start putting their work together. It'll be an earmarked space for doing their design challenges and things of a, I guess, bigger nature.
What's really, I think, great about the space, you have a huge wall of storefront window of glass, a corridor, and then another, you have the courtyard, bringing, again, all natural light. It's a great space to work in. We're going to clean up the courtyard eventually. It might be a space that some of the students could do projects out there. I've seen that sort of thing done, but it'll be a nice space from end to out. What's interesting, you'd say it's just a pipe in the ground. That is glass, and I've been in this industry for 24 years, and I have yet to see acid waste piping as glass. Back in 1966, that's what worked, so it just about ate through everything else. And so trying to tie in modern plumbing to glass pipe, well, that's a trick. It kind of surprised our plumbers, too, to some degree. So as we go or going through it, they're kind of asking me, where exactly do I break it? And I thought, well, you could break any of it. So It's just interesting seeing older construction design compared to today's standard. Now it's all called Dura-Iron, or it's plastic pipe or synthetic back then. I can't imagine what it costs to do that kind of pipe, but I'm sure it was expensive. That's your science classrooms. Again, I try to stand at the same point as I did last time. Unfortunately, those pictures I had, my last laptop went to cardiac arrest, so I wasn't able to stand in the same places and get you the same shots. I apologize. I know I took one here. Again, you had your courtyard just to this side of it, and that whole entire length of those classrooms or those science rooms are going to be glass. So seeing in and out, bringing in natural sunlight, being more of a campus environment, that's what it's going to be all about. And all your experiment stations and all your sinks are on the back wall. We can see we have studs framed. Eventually bring down our plumbing from the top and tie it in there, and that's where it'll all be set up with furnishings in there for their lab tables. Now, again, we continue to tear apart the floors. There's a lot of work we got to do under the ground to get it tied in for your acid waste and for your drains and sanitary. This is going from, I guess the courtyard is just to the other side of those studs moving through. This will be a bridge and a gap to get through to the IT, what I call the IT area, which is going to be a pretty dynamic space. Again, open concept, you know, flowing movement is really what the theme's been so far. If you remember, this is a big open space with nothing in it a month ago, and now we have most of the walls built. We have a lot of the masonry patched and repaired. What you'll see here eventually, probably in the next 6 weeks, you'll start seeing glass and storefronts. So you have, again, a very open concept and our open study area here just to closest to me. And you'll see angled walls that will be all glass. It'll be absolutely beautiful. And we'll have drywall partitions finished and we'll have ceilings going in. We're in the process, you can see there, starting to already put up ductwork for the new HVAC system. So that's going at quite a brisk pace.
And that was the former quad area, I believe?
Yes.
So at one time, I think it had been a large open space, and then there were, it wasn't really temporary walls, but it wasn't a normal
partitions of some sort.
Put in to make a quad area right off the big locker bay on that.
Yeah. So now, again, we are, you can see the amount of ductwork we have going up there. We're working from the IT area. Next space we're going to finish is the core academics, and then head down to manufacturing. Thought being, if there was an issue, there was a problem, we got to make sure we protect the areas you need first, and not that you don't need manufacturing, but again, we work for the most important or most needed areas to the ones that have a little different priority as we head towards completion. This year, cafeteria, haven't done much in there yet, other than I have a big pipe bender in there, that's kind of boring. Okay, we're heading down to the manufacturing area. And I'm not exactly sure what all the rooms are. I know where the weld lab is, I know we have a classroom, engineering classroom just on the other side of those studs. We're heading back to the mechatronics unit area, which is going to be, you know, that very dynamic space with a big, we have a big hole in the wall now, you may have seen it grow by. This is entering to the, will be the future, our lecture hall, or I'm not exactly sure what we're programming it for, but again, that had an old plaster ceiling, had all the walls up there, we've torn all those down, starting to open up the space. This is your weld lab. Doesn't look like much now, but there'll be a lot of stuff going in here, and again, there'll be storefront glazing, so you'll be able to see all the way through that back wall when it's done. It'll be pretty neat. I'll finish. But we'll have storefront at the corridor. I'm standing in the corridor now looking to my right back towards the stadium, which is back beyond that wall. I'll see the weld lab, and beyond that, I'll be able to continue to see all the way back to what's going on. I guess, I'm not sure what's in that fab lab or what's in behind that. Again, it's an open concept.
It's a dirty lab, I think, to the back, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Is that what it is, Mike? Okay. This is the other side of the weld lab, which we have the hoods there. And this is where we're going to CNC. I can't remember what we're doing on the other side of the weld.
CNC was the last.
The other one. Okay, right. So this is the weld lab with the hood. That is a really big hole we put in the wall, and then it'll be full of glass, and you'll be able to see the mechatronics unit and all the equipment and the arms sitting there moving around and articulating when it's all said and done. So it's going to be really neat. You'll be able to see it right there as you come into the entrance, or as you're leaving, I guess. I'm not really sure I took that one. We just keep poking holes in the walls everywhere, which is quite time-consuming, but it's going to be great when it's done. Finish spaces, make it accessible. And there's another shot of your lecture hall I wanted to grab before I left so you can see what will be a nice big open space with, again, glass going in from inside to out. That's it. So,
okay.
Lights.
Oh, there you go.
So we're working through issues. We're coming across challenges that come inherently with every project. We have some things to hash out with the building department, which needs to get taken care of here pretty quick, to make sure we keep on track. So if there are any changes, of course, we'll make sure Diane's aware and she'll make sure you're aware, but we're trying to hit this. So I have 12 weeks, as I said, I think, where I may have mentioned. It's a lot to try to get all of it done in that period of time. So is there anything else you wanted me to cover or discuss?
You've done a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for keeping us updated.
Hear that, Kathy? I like Kathy very much. We get along quite well.
Hard to imagine.
Hard to imagine.
Yeah.
Does the board have any other questions for me?
Keep up the good work. Both of you.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. We get the reports too, like the group reports, and I love they're really detailed, and it's. It just looks really organized, too.
It's really,
I appreciate
really fascinating
that.
To stand back and just see how much goes in. I mean, I haven't even imagined what it's like on the curriculum part, trying to figure out how to program this building to use it.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably more complicated, I guess, than actually the work we're doing to build it. But to watch the whole project and look at it from our standpoint, even, it's quite detailed. There's a lot.
Right. A lot of teamwork going on.
A lot of
first line,
as we like to say.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah,
it's exciting. Okay, I just wanted to make sure we are going to try something new this summer. I wanted to let you know that the district is going to go to working 4 10-hour days during the summer months as a cost savings measure. The only building that really won't be impacted is Edgewood because we have SAC taking place 5 days a week. So there will be some flexibility in this building. Other than that, typical work hours will be 7 to 5, offices open probably 8 to 4:30. We're kind of working on those details. I'll be working on a communication plan to parents and students as well, but that will be a change for this coming year. A couple of celebrations. I wanted to definitely recognize Lindsay Prefer's class, the second grade class here at Edgewood. I received an email from Lindsay about, certainly Lindsay is a very talented teacher that we had the good fortune of bringing on last year, and you could tell in her interview that she had a different way of approaching the world. It's showing up. Her class went on a walking field trip to a local community park, really to study environment, habitats, those kind of things linked more to the science curriculum. On the way back, the students were bothered with the amount of litter in the public park and chose to take that on as a class project to wrap up the year. They've engaged the city in getting equipment. They have earmarked, I believe it's May 22nd, to put on a community park cleanup day in conjunction with, I think we have people from the fire department, from the city department, the mayor's been in, police chief has been into the class to celebrate and honor the students. So I wanted to make sure that you knew it was kind of that nice community action feel from a group of second graders really driven by their work and a teacher that's empowered them to take the lead and do some exciting things. So excited, invite you to come watch them. I'll give you a reminder as that day comes closer.
Great.
Soapbox Derby, May 17th. We have a group of students headed to the All-American Soapbox Derby Gravity Racing Challenge in Akron. So we want to wish them the best of luck. That's based out of the BASE program at Bunzeld. So excited to see them move on. Also want to congratulate the High School Exchange Program for their Global Education Excellence Award they received. Also, I don't know if you had the opportunity to drop into the FFA flower sale,
yes.
But they run
great stuff.
Like their own business, and certainly was a huge success again this year. Also wanted to mention again, congratulations to those students inducted into the National Honor Society this week. Mm-hmm. And certainly, as we wrap up, I'll mention again, but want to wish best of luck to our graduating class as that day is quickly approaching. And super excited to celebrate that day with them and take part in that evening as well. So, again, that's the 24th at 7 o'clock. That's all.
All right. With this. Any questions for? Good update. Okay. Mr. Johnson, Treasurer's Report.
Okay. First, I wanted to update you. We've talked a little bit about the bond refinancing that's coming up. Just a little more update on that. Ms. Mankins and I participated in a ratings call earlier this week. Similar to if you're refinancing a home, you get your credit checked. The better your credit, the better your interest rates. So same thing for a bond refinancing. Two rating agencies, Standard & Poor's and Moody's, they do those ratings. Part of that ratings call was we're kind of advocating for the district and trying to, you know, put our best foot forward to try to get the best rating possible. I already received some good news from Standard & Poor's. They've upgraded our rating, so they've bumped us up. So that's great news. You know, part of that is them saying that they're confident in our management of the district and also confident in the fiscal outlook of the district. And like I said, the other important part of that is it's not really, it's hard to quantify the numbers, but when you've got bond buyers out there looking at buying bonds from one entity versus another, if they're seeing an entity with a credit rating that just bumped up, they're more likely to buy those bonds. So that's good for us. We haven't yet got our rating back from Moody's, but the call there went really well, and the analyst there, basically, he's one analyst out of a committee that will be making the decision. But at least if it was up to him, his opinion, we would also be doing well there and possibly bumping up as well. And I guess some additional good news on the bond refinancing. Originally, I let you know that we were projecting savings of $620,000 due to that refinancing. Due to interest rates just continuing to go down a little bit, that number's now up to $695,000. So good news there.
The one analyst, since I had never done this before either, has been reviewing our district, I believe they said, for 12 years. And really transitioning those renewal bonds was key to changing our outlook. The way it was explained was when you have those renewals continuing, there's still a certain amount of uncertainty to your stability. And certainly transitioning those over and only having one on our cycle was definitely a positive move for the district.
Okay, the other item I wanted to update you on, I didn't know I'd be standing in front of so many people when I was doing it, but to give you an update on the five-year forecast. We already went over this pretty in detail at our work session earlier in the month, so I'm just going to kind of give you some high points.
I think it'll move.
Okay. So this slide really tells the whole story of the forecast, short and sweet. The blue line there is revenue in each year of the forecast. The red line is our expenditures, and you'll notice in each of the years, starting with fiscal 14, the year that we're in all the projected years, revenue actually exceeds expenditures. So that's great news. I note there at the bottom that our 6.561 levy was renewed last year. Thank you to the voters, that community support. Obviously, this forecast wouldn't look like this without that. And also note, expenditure reductions were made for the district to live within the revenue that we have. So the district is being very responsible with taxpayer dollars, again, leading to the forecast we have. Revenue exceeding expenditures leads to the bottom line, which is our ending balance, trending up. So that ending balance is actually growing. And also important to note, the board recently adopted a cash balance policy that says basically expenditures cannot exceed revenues by more than 1% in any year of the forecast. This forecast actually meets that policy. So, okay, jump on that.
Okay, this slide talks about the valuations of the district. This is what drives our property tax revenue. The class one, you'll see there, class one is made up of residential and agricultural. It actually grew slightly. The two pieces there, residential actually went down slightly due to the reappraisal from the county auditor. But that was more than made up for by the agricultural values, which saw a pretty big jump. The red line there, class two is our commercial property values. This area actually led to an increase in revenue for this year. We were already projecting a decrease in those valuations, but the decrease didn't actually come in as big as was projected. So this forecast compared to the prior forecast actually saw a jump in revenue of $140,000 due to that projection. The green line, tangible personal property tax, I'm not supposed to talk much about that. It's a sore subject here in Marysville, so you can see the valuation there down to zero. But the purple line next to it, that's called our PUP values, public utility personal property. That's basically gas lines, utility lines, cell phone towers, those kinds of things. You can see there at the bottom we saw a big increase, $8.2 million increase there this year. That's another area in the forecast led to a nice jump in revenue, an additional $233,000 in revenue for fiscal year 14 based on that valuation jump. Talk about the levy history. Again, this is one that I think our taxpayers can be proud of how the district is handling the money. The last new money, there's only been one new money issue, levy issue passed since 1998. So in 1998, there was a 4 mil levy passed that was a new levy. Prior to that, the last one was in 1998, an 8.9 mil continuing levy. And obviously, the levy was renewed in 2013. But what's really worth noting, and I think this also played a big role in our ratings being bumped up, is now we do just have one levy in the district that's not continuing. So there's only one levy that needs renewed every 5 years. That adds a lot of fiscal stability. Helps in planning. So that levy, the one that was just passed, will expire December 31st, 2019. Risk factors, you know, every forecast is only as good as the assumptions that are in it, and those assumptions can change daily. It's critical that the state continues to pay our TPP, tangible personal property fixed rate reimbursements. That number right now is about $5.6 million. That's a big chunk of our revenue, so if the state were to go back on that promise or reduce that revenue, the entire forecast obviously would change there. Note, we're receiving new money in the state budget. That is our foundation or state unrestricted state funding. Basically, to summarize the way the formula works, right now there's basically three kinds of districts in the state. There's the formula district. That's a district where the formula is working for them. They're getting the exact amount of funding that the formula says they should get. There are guarantee districts. Those are typically sometimes the rural or more poor districts. That's where the formula says they should get $1 amount, but they're actually getting more than that. So the state was sympathetic and didn't want to drop them down, so they're actually getting more. They're guaranteed to get more than what the formula says. And then you have cap districts, and Marysville is a cap district. That's where the formula says we should get one amount, but we're actually getting less. So the formula says we should get about $21 million in revenue. We're actually getting about 16. There was a change. They did some recalculation on our fiscal 13 numbers that led to a jump in our fiscal 14 revenue, which also then increased our cap. So it was kind of a double benefit. So for fiscal 14, we saw a jump in revenue of $450,000. So that was a great benefit to the district. And at the same time, that also increased our fiscal year 15 cap number as well. But I also note there, this is also a big risk area for the forecast because the state of Ohio operates on a biennial budget. So the current current school funding formula is only as good as the biennial budget. So we're in the first year of that biennium, so we're pretty confident in the next year as well. But in the projected years after that, it's kind of anybody's guess. If there would be a new governor in place, the formula could entirely change. But in this forecast, we've projected 2% increases in state revenue in the out years. The state economy has definitely started to gradually turn around. It's looking a lot better than it was. So we felt we were conservative in going with a 2% increase. Another risk factor is our class two, those commercial values, the tax rates. As properties, as commercial properties or residential properties, they can appeal their values to bring their values down. As those values go down, millages will roll up so that there's not a loss in revenue. But most of our levies at the class two level are actually already rolled up to the maximum level. So any future reductions would end up reducing our revenue. And obviously, this first slide showed that this is a very healthy forecast, probably as healthy a forecast as Marysville's had in a long time. But we still need to continue to monitor expenses and keep a close eye on that, because it can slowly start to eat away at that if we don't. Okay, that's all I have. Any questions?
Thank you. Yeah.
Like you said, we spent a lot of time going over this in our workshop, whenever that was, about a week ago, yeah. May 6th, I think, yeah. So I appreciate all the time you put into it, Todd. It does look really good, so it's a really... Yeah.
I also want to comment that it was very helpful to me that you went through in a line-by-line explanation of what we need to know and what we need to be aware of, And I think you've identified the risks that we face. If I understand it, what you said, we know what we've got this year. We have a good expectation on next year, and then beyond that is
up
in the air. Always up to change.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks, Mom. Great. That's it. You have anything else?
Nope. That's
okay.
It.
Board President's Report. I've just got a few. I wanted to kind of go over some highlights since our last meeting. A reminder that our Chamber of Commerce hosted a business impact breakfast in the Marysville Senior Commons, and Ms. Mankins provided information on the early college STEM school, and also gave brochures with the Chamber of Commerce members and area business people, and it was very well received. And in fact, today we had a Chamber Board meeting, and the President, Joseph Mitchell, wondered if they would consider holding that meeting again, because the morning of that meeting there was another meeting going on in the city, and so they felt like there were some people that were kind of torn between which meeting to attend, but they were really excited about what you had to share. And then the Chamber also had a Salute to Leaders luncheon where they honored our Mr. Keck as the leader in agriculture for the year and Ms. Mankins as this year's leader in education. So that was quite an honor to have two people from our school district honored as leaders in our community. We also had the OSBA Board Leadership Institute on May 2nd and 3rd, and Brian Luke, Dick Smith, and myself attended, and we attended a total of, I think, about 15 sessions. We covered topics from student achievement, finance, critical issues, board development, legislative issues, and hot topics. So we got a lot of good information, and it provided some opportunities to network with some other board members, so that's always a good thing for us to do. We also held that board workshop on May 6th, gave us a chance to look at that five-year forecast in depth, and also gave us some time to discuss the Meyer TIF and Heritage Co-op tax abatement issues, which we'll be voting on this evening. And again, Mr. Johnson just gave us some really good information that helped us to make what we think are well-informed decisions. And then one other thing about the Chamber Board meeting this morning that was pretty exciting, and Mayor Gore suggested that they add an education update to the monthly meeting so that our businesses stay informed about what's going on in our district. And so I plan to work with Diane to kind of work on those reports. And you really get a sense of partnership, that they really want to work with our district and share resources and just for the betterment of the whole community. Let's see. Last week was Staff Appreciation Week, and since we can never say thank you enough, just want to thank every employee in our district again for all the great work that you do, The entire board appreciates you so much, and I think our students do too. So let's see. Looking forward, tomorrow we have the Creek Views Pride Day celebration. Their opening ceremony is at 8:45 with presentations beginning at 9:30, and so we've all received an invitation to attend, and I'm going to be there. I'm really excited about seeing that. And I think that's it. That's it. And the Ohio High Point report, I will do that as well because Kevin Decko's not here, so he did send a report, just a real brief overview. Their meeting was consisted mainly of financial-related topics. They talked about their audit report, which was a good audit. They talked about their five-year forecast, and they have positive variances there, so that's good. Teacher updates. Talked about the Bunsold Middle School CBI program, which I actually went to their web. They have a Facebook page now, and it's a really neat program. I mean, it's a what does CBA stand for? It stands career-based intervention. So students have an opportunity to kind of experiment with different types of job settings and actually get a feel for what they would do in these jobs. And now they've opened up the Monarch Marketplace, so that's really good news. And there, the High Point convocation is going to be on May 28th, and our representative, Mr. Decko, said he plans to be in attendance to represent our district. That was very nice. Legislative report, Mr. Smith.
All right. This month's been very busy down in Columbus, and they'll be winding things up, and things will be a lot less busy until after the November election. As they were heading into some of the last weeks of their work, I sent a message to Dorothy Flanda, our representative, State Representative, and Senator Dave Burke, and I urged them, as they looked at all the different issues and all the different factors that affect schools, that they keep the kids in mind, that make sure that they were thinking about that as they listen to and ask questions and prepare to vote. There are a number of things that are going on in the state. One of the things that you may have heard about is we have a Ohio Modernization Commission, and that commission is called, I forget how frequently, I think it's every 20 years or so, and they look at the Constitution and they recommendations, and it takes two-thirds of the committee to make a recommendation, and then it has to pass in the House and pass in the Senate and go before the voters of the state. So it's a very long process before anything happens. But one proposal that is of note is that there was a recommendation to eliminate the words thorough and efficient in the language of the Constitution as it affects education. And those words, those three words, are essentially the basis of the Durolf decisions and so forth. So that's going to be a critical issue. It's important, I think, for us to keep education in the forefront of what our state does, and the education that our students here at Marysville and throughout the state deserve ought to be thorough and efficient. So, without those words, there would be no standard. The focus of most of the action down the state legislature is House Bill 487, which is the mid-biennium
review.
Yeah, mid-biennium review, MBR. And there are a number of different things that are being addressed in that. There is a College Plus proposal that would promote, in essence, some consistency in post-secondary courses. There's some provisions in there that might make it difficult for local school districts such as ours to have control and flexibility to do things that in a way that would be fiscally responsible for us. probably the one thing that jumps out at me the most is the dual enrollment. Current law says that we would not be able to pass on costs for dual enrollment courses. There was language at one time said there was going to be a minimum payment to the colleges. That has been taken out. But it's, I think, an unfunded mandate in that over the next 4 years, we've talked about that a little bit, that could increase our district's cost by over $1 million. Mm-hmm. With some of the plans and programs that we have. So hopefully the state will allow us to be able to work independently to negotiate prices with colleges and universities, and then to pass on those reduced costs where appropriate. It's been recommended, and I've talked with both of the of our legislators about coming up with some sort of a sliding scale to help kids that may be in a household that has difficulty in meeting those costs, so that that those could be addressed in some way. There is language in the bill that would mandate to districts such as ours that charter school students be allowed to participate in extracurriculars. There are some cost issues there. There are eligibility issues. There are a number of potential stumbling blocks on that one. So hopefully that one will be discussed. Over in the Senate, there is a push from the School Boards Association for the Senate to go back to language that the Senate originally passed in terms of teacher evaluations. We've talked about that before, and that is still there. One last point. Our superintendent went and testified this past week about at-risk students and some proposed changes in policy that would extend technical and career training down to the 7th grade. I asked her for some of the things that she mentioned to the state Senate in her testimony. She pointed out that House Bill 487 provides a grant that provides $3 from the state for every $1 that is raised locally for the development of career connectors between schools and businesses. So if you come up with a little bit of money where you're going to be able to do something between a local business, the state will help by providing $3 for everyone that you get. She commented that House Bill 487 allows higher education institutions to complete the high school diploma requirements of those adults that may not have been able to earn a diploma. There's some limitations as to how long a person can stay in school, in the public school. And this addresses that. She said that it is discouraging that we constantly push students to meet requirements that are not relevant, did not connect with the individual needs of our students. And House Bill 487 allows school districts to create alternative pathways to graduation for students that are appropriate and specific for them. And there's also a focus on early intervention that is a key component of this. She concluded her testimony by saying, given my background and keen interest in dropout prevention, I am excited to see great potential in the career tech focus and dropout prevention strategies in House Bill 487. The implementation would provide momentum and focus to create a more individualized, impactful, and relevant approach to education for all of Ohio students. They deserve it. Mm-hmm. So, well done. Mm-hmm. And we certainly hope your voice was heard. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it?
That's it.
All right. Thank you. Finance Committee report. And I'll go ahead. Let's see. When did we meet? We met on April 24th, and we reviewed the refunding of the $9.13 million in bonds, talked about the annual note reissuance for our 564 notes, reviewed the five-year forecast. Mr. Johnson gave an update on the fiscal department, the new hires in the fiscal department, and we discussed how we will schedule our next meeting after we get our report from the people who are working on a permanent improvement forecast. So that was pretty much it for that. All right. We're now going to be moving on to public participation. And I felt because we have several new board members and probably several people participating this evening who have never attended a board meeting, I'd like to take a few minutes to review our policies and talk about the purpose of public participation. First off, the board meeting is our only chance to conduct the business of the district that requires board approval. So in order for us to fulfill our obligation to complete the planned agenda in an effective and efficient fashion, we allow a maximum of 30 minutes of public participation at each meeting. The public participation allows people to share their comments, concerns, questions, etc. with the board. It is not intended to be a forum for discussion. Each person addressing the board shall give his or her name and address. If several people wish to speak, each person is allotted 3 minutes until the total time of 30 minutes is used. During that period, no person may speak twice until all who desire to speak have had the opportunity to do so. The period of public participation may be extended by a vote of the majority of the board present and voting. I would also ask that each person addressing the board be respectful and refrain from direct personal attacks or comments. Again, the intent is not to hold a discussion, but more to hear your comments and then follow up as needed. So, and I believe Mr. Johnson will be doing the timing for us.
Yep.
Okay. So let's see. First on the list, we have...
How many do we have signed up?
Oh, pardon me?
How many do we have?
One, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 10. Yeah, that was from last. Okay, yeah. I think we have 10 people signed up.
So 3 minutes
okay.
each.
So, Kristen Evans.
Thank you, sir. I came here tonight. I'd like to address some concerns about the cheerleading tryouts that took place this year at Marysville High School. Mm-hmm. It's important to note that we did contact the coach, the athletic director, and the superintendent's office. We were only afforded one meeting to address our concerns, which brought us here tonight. Mm-hmm. For all the reasons that brought you to become a member of the board, we ask that you keep those in mind while reviewing our situation, whether you came to the board because you wanted to ensure program quality or to ensure that our children in our community receive the best education possible. We do believe that you as board members pursued that position to serve the children of our community. All we are asking is that you give our situation consideration for the benefit of the children directly involved and for future children coming through the Marysville schools. We do understand that sports or athletics is a privilege and not a right. However, for kids, it is how they learn to set goals and work hard to achieve their dreams. The lessons that they learn from working hard to be a student athlete are invaluable life lessons. And as the standards are set in the athletic code of conduct, it makes them strive to be a good role model for their school. And if these seeds are planted early, it will be something they carry with them into adulthood as they strive to be better individuals and strong contributing members to their families and communities. For these girls, they have worked hard to be members of the cheerleading team at MHS, and at no time were they given any indication from their coach that they needed to improve their set of skills. At no time were they given a chance to improve on something because they didn't have an awareness of what that was. Also, the tryout process itself has a questionable error regarding fairness, and to protect the entire process, the kids, the coach, and the policies need to be instituted to ensure fairness. I do have a quote from the Ohio Association for Cheerleading Coaches, and it says that in a school where the child of a coach is trying out, the OACC feels that the coach should step aside. Fairness is also to protect the coach from the appearance of showing favoritism. We have looked for policies within our school system, and we cannot find one that addresses relatives coaching their own children. We have a petition with 108 signatures from the student body at Marysville High School, and we also have talked with alumni cheerleaders regarding their experience with the program, and they've signed a letter. And I want to read the letter from the alumni varsity cheerleaders. So they've been asked to address concerns and support For the four incoming seniors that didn't make the squad, the girls have reached out to us and asked our opinion of the tryout process this year. We would like to point out that our intention is not to attack anyone's character, but rather attack the policies and procedures that perhaps contributed to the predicament that the girls are facing today. We hold our memories and experiences from MHS cheerleaders very close to our hearts, and we are very proud to have been part of that group during our high school career. Upholding the integrity of the cheer program is important to us as well. Being part of the cheerleading program at MHS, we also feel that our previous experience should be invaluable to the situation. And they write that having a relative coach as a member of the cheerleading squad can present problems for the squad. It goes without saying that it brings concerns for favoritism and bias. And then they write that in the past they did have a coach with a daughter that was a cheerleader, and each year during tryouts, the coach made extreme efforts to avoid any feeling that her daughter received special treatment or consideration. Mm-hmm. The coach did not go into the room during tryouts. The coach did not touch the score sheets. The athletic director collected the score sheets and gave the results to the coach, and essentially the coach found out the same way a parent did.
Chris, are you about done?
I just have two more things.
Okay.
There were just some changes. I'll jump ahead. There were some changes made in the season that were not in keeping with the cheer tryouts in the program in the past. They are as follows. End-of-season evaluations were not given to the girls. The tryout process included spotting this year. In our experience, spotting for tumbling has never been allowed. Also, coaches did not enter the tryout room if they had a child trying out. Tryouts were held earlier this year, and in fact, they were held on Good Friday, and that is actually a conflict with the MHS Code of Athletics. So they just write, please consider the fairness of the tryout process, and if you find fault with anything, please make a decision in the favor of the girls to give them a chance to represent Marysville High School. That's all I have. I would like to give the president our petition, the letter from the alumni cheerleaders with their signatures, and we also have copies of the scores that the girls received, and we have also included policies from other schools that we just looked at to show some examples of how other schools handle these
situations. Thank you very much, Kristen.
Sure. Can you make sure we get their names?
Yeah, we got their names. Yeah, okay. I've got their names here. Okay, next on the list, I have Heather Nicely.
Hi. Heather Nicely, I'm Bridget's mom.
Yeah, I have her address, 322. Yep.
Got it. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I just have a few points I want to make about the scoring. I'll try to keep it fast. Okay, at the tryout meetings, the girls were told what they were expected to do. They weren't told what each item was going to be worth as far as jumps, stunts, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
After the tryouts, the girls asked for their score sheets. They were told no because they weren't ready yet. The day after tryouts, a girl was told by Carol that there had been a mistake made in the scoring, and she had actually made varsity instead of junior varsity, even after all the double-checking, triple-checking that had been done. The score sheets were tallied by the coaches this year. In the past, the scores were tallied by the athletic director, not the coaches. When we asked to receive the score sheets as parents, we finally received them when we had a meeting with Mr. Blind. We were asked to look over them at that moment and say whether we had any issues with the scoring. We didn't have time to properly review them until after the meeting. Also, we asked to see the score sheets of the girls who made the squads, and we were told no. On the average, the girls scored about 86% for their teacher evaluations, 78% for judges' portions, and a 57% from the coaches. No evaluations or even helpful advice was given to the girls at the end of the season, even after requested. Basically, the coaches' scores don't correctly reflect our girls. For example, my daughter Bridget, she hasn't missed any games, she wasn't written up, she hasn't even been warned that she was doing anything poorly. As far as she felt she was doing a good job and she was a good cheerleader. So she had no idea she would receive a 45%, which is beyond, it's failing. So I would think if you were a cheerleader and you were failing, somebody would come to you and say, we need to talk. We need to talk about this because you're not doing a good job after 3 years of cheering. So basically, whether there's an issue with favoritism or not, the girls feel that there is. And when it comes down to it, that's the important thing, is what these girls are feeling, what they're perceiving this to be. And I don't want my daughters to be raised to see this kind of corruption already this early in life as far as favoritism goes. And if that's how they feel, then that's the reality of it. So that's really all I have.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Next on the list, we have Judy Petkevius. No.
That's okay.
Go ahead. How about Judy P?
My name is Judy Petkevius.
Petkevius.
And I've been working for the Marysville School District for 7 years as a kindergarten teacher at Mill Valley, as a substitute teacher mainly at the high school, for the SAC Latchkey program, and for the athletic department, the girls' basketball team. I've also been the parent representative for the cheerleaders for 2 years, attending MAA and quarterback club meetings, organizing events, banquets, and in charge of fundraising. I've always been very proud to work in the Marysville School District and blessed to be a small part of the cheerleading program. I wish I still felt this way, but this past year in Marysville, cheerleading has been a roller coaster filled with disappointment, obvious nepotism, inconsistent discipline, and abuse of authority. I'm an employee of Marysville Schools, but more than that, I am a mother. My daughter, Bailey, has been cheering since she was in kindergarten. She attended Mini Monarch Cheer Camp every single year growing up. Bailey looked up to the senior girls who ran the cheer camps and dreamed of doing that too one day. She's been cheering for the Monarchs since 7th grade at Bunsold. She's been all in, giving her time, energy, dedication, and her own hard-earned money to pay participation fees to be in the sport that she loves. All these young ladies have. Now that they've been cut from their senior year of cheerleading, they can't just go join the volleyball team or the softball team. They are skilled in cheerleading. This is what they know. This is what they've been practicing for years, and this is what they're good at. We've all come here this evening hoping to be heard, hoping to make a difference in the Marysville High School cheerleading program. Please listen with your heart to what these four girls will be missing their senior year. Painting a paw print with their name on it and being proud to see it every time they walk up to the gates of the football stadium. The chance to finally have seniority on the squad, to be the leaders, to possibly be captain. They've looked up to the seniors each year since they were freshmen. They've known their place and have been patiently waiting to have their turns to be the seniors. They can't have their senior portraits wearing their blue sweaters and plaid skirts. It's important to a girl. Cheering on the front row in front of the student section, as the senior girls are usually chosen to do. Riding in the homecoming parade. Professional poster that's made where the senior players and senior cheerleaders are recognized together. Writing cheerleading on their college applications. Cheering for boys on the team that they've grown up with and have been cheering for since middle school and even Mini Monarchs. The senior players won't be truly represented with only 3 seniors and 6 sophomore cheerleaders. And senior night. This is the night they've been looking forward to every year of cheerleading. That's the night all Monarchs look forward to. It's a chance to celebrate all their years of hard work and dedication to Marysville. It's a chance to walk with their family across the field or court and acknowledge their love and support. I ask that you think about your sons and daughters, whether they play basketball, soccer, baseball, football, tennis, or are members of the band. Would it seem fair to have their senior year taken away? To all of a sudden be told, you are not good enough anymore. Everything your child has loved and practiced and dedicated themselves to is just completely erased from their lives. I know your heart would break for your child. The girls have mostly accepted that their chances of being reinstated to the team are pretty slim, but they're here tonight to speak out so that this doesn't keep happening to girls in the future. When trying out for their senior year, consideration should be given to anyone who has already been a part of the varsity squad, has experience, and can offer leadership. We are requesting a response from the school board about the importance of consideration as to a student's years and years of dedication to being a Monarch. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next on the list looks like Jason Gardner. Is that correct? And
yes.
I need your address, Jason.
17976 Bear Swamp Road.
17976 Bear Swamp.
Correct.
All right.
I'm one of the fathers of the daughters that did get cut from the tryout, and I put it on a 3-tier level. I was sitting back here, and what's most important is that you recognize these girls and their courage for standing up for themselves tonight. That's very important. Number 2, probably a little bit less important, is that you guys take in consideration that we need to come up with rules and regulations for how the cheerleading tryouts are held and even how it's governed in the future. Like Kristen said earlier, there's no rules that you can actually find that state how cheerleading tryouts should be held, and we need to start that. So it's nobody's fault that anything went wrong, other than the 4 policies that were broken. during tryouts, it clearly states that no one else from the public is allowed to be in the tryout, and there were. Number two, I might have to go to my cheat sheet on this. It also says that it's not to be held on Good Friday, and it was. It says that there will be nobody spotting. We're not allowed to do that, and there were. And you know what? I'm going to leave it at that. I want to save time for the girls to speak. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can I ask just one clarifying question? Your first one was no one from the public
was to attend the tryouts.
And who did?
There were public people that were there that weren't judges.
Beyond the
judges and the girls trying out.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Matt Evans.
Mimi.
And okay, same address as.
Did we have the girls signed up? Because I thought they were.
They all signed
before.
Up after me.
Yeah. Oh, after? Okay.
Yeah. And Matt,
we announced for everybody.
You're the same address as.
811 Home Rise?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just have quick bullet points, and we were just requesting a response and a remedy to each of the bullet points that we have on the sheet. Probably don't really need to read them. I think we'll just save the time for the girls. You guys have everything on there, so I'm just formally requesting that, and as a parent, alumni, and a coach, consider this and investigate what happened.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Bridget? Writer?
Right, yes.
Okay.
Can we go in a different order than what they're written on there? Is that okay?
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
And just, you'll need to let me know who you are, and I know there's one that I don't have an address for.
Okay. My name is Alex Gardner.
Okay. And I'm assuming that you're the same address as Jason.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I would like to start off by sharing a little bit about myself. My name is Alex Gardner. I'm 16 years old and finishing up my junior year at Marysville High School. I'm involved in various clubs in the high school, such as Nellie's Club, Book Club, and Leo Club. I love my school, and I love supporting it in every way possible, which is why I chose cheerleading as a sport at the end of my sixth grade year. Between working hard with a personal trainer and a private tumbling lessons, training for my senior year was a full-time job, and it was one that I was happy to do, because I knew with every hour of training came an extra point on that judge's score sheet. Ever since seventh grade, I made the cheer team, and every year I valued and appreciated my spot more than anyone could ever imagine. If you walk into my bedroom, you'll see my bows hanging up from past years, my participation in scholar-athlete certificates, along with little notes on my calendar saying, "You can do this," and "You've got this." My varsity letters displayed next to my closet were my sweaters and uniforms hanging proudly above my several pairs of cheer shoes from throughout the years. I used to be proud to come into my room every day and see all these things on display, but now I am ashamed. I don't even know what to do with all these things. The tryouts that I have been working for so hard for have just concluded, and I'm afraid to say I did not make the cut. The past 5 years of my life, I have spent devoting my life to this program. I have just been ripped away from me. I get no senior night to recognize me for all my hard work. My name will not get to be presented and printed on the paw prints outside the stadium. No senior homecoming, no parade. When I received my scores, I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. My coaches scored me an 84 out of 200. This is a 42%. If I was in a classroom with this score, a teacher would have spoken to me regarding this. Multiple warnings and parent phone calls would have given out. However, I received none of this. In my entire cheerleading career, I've only missed two practices due to illnesses, never missed a game, and only received one write-up ever. I would just like to know what I did so wrong for my coaches, whom I was supposed to look up to and who were supposed to mentor me. Basically, were telling me I was worthless in this scoring. I had no idea my coaches felt this way about me, and I had even reached out to my coaches through emails with no responses. All I'm asking for in this process to be improved and for a remedy and response. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Bridget Greider.
Okay, Bridget.
It's 322 Triple Cromway.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Where do I begin? Let me start off with a little bit about myself. My name is Bridget Greider. I'm a 17-year-old junior at Marysville High School. I've been cheering since I can remember. I started cheering for the Mini Monarchs, cheering for the boys that are our Marysville High School football players today. I really found the enjoyment and love for the sport when I reached high school. Making my freshman year was an honor and a privilege that I couldn't begin to explain. But I longed for those Friday night lights, the big crowds, and the overall excitement and the experience of being there. My sophomore year, I made JV. Upset I didn't make varsity, but I knew that being on JV would give me the experience and I needed to ready myself for varsity. My junior year, I made varsity, and I said to myself, this is what I've spent my whole high school career working for and dreaming about, the moment of victory and accomplishment. My mother, former cheerleader in high school, was so proud of me and knew how hard I've worked to earn this spot in the squad. I knew at that point I had the experience and the skill to be a varsity cheerleader, but now that has been all been taken away from me, not only physically, but emotionally. It took my happiness away. This ruined everything for my senior year. I don't think people understand the emotional pain this could bring on someone. I don't get my name on a paw print leading up to the football field. I don't get a senior night, a night to recognize the hard work that I've put towards since freshman year. I don't get to add this to my college applications, and I don't get to go to the football games and the basketball games because I'm too distracted and upset to enjoy them. I'm to be able to wear my sweater again alongside those other girls is like a boy not being able to put on the football, basketball, or soccer jersey back on, or setting the bench every game, watching their team participate without them. It's the feeling of being a failure and a disappointment. The way this process was handled was unfair and should have been managed more properly. How does someone make the highest rank of the sport and not make the cut the next year? I could understand that a new coach coming in couldn't see the full potential that the former coach could, but that's why we bring in the judges to evaluate us. Not only do you get a fair trial, but you don't get the favoritism that could come from a coach. I got an 83% of my judges' scores, and I got a 45% of my coaches' scores. These tryouts should be based only on how well you perform in that tryout room in front of those four judges that don't know you or how long you've been cheering. When you start putting coaches' score into the process, how do you know that was done properly and fair? By just giving us a low score on the coaches' scoring can determine whether or not you're on the team. By having a 45% by the coaches, I could have had a perfect score on everything else and still wouldn't have made the team just by the coaches' evaluation. So you can see by these numbers, not just by my emotions, that this was unfair. All I have is a feeling of betrayal. The school is supposed to be there for its students, supposed to look out for us. How do you expect us to be proud to be a monarch if there's so much corruption in the system? All I could ask for is a response and a remedy and for this to be made right. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
Yes. Hi, I'm Bailey Fudkevichus. Okay. 19129 Paper Barnes Road.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Hello, I'm here tonight to share with you my experience that I've had with the Marysville High School cheerleading program and with my former coach. For you to be able to understand what cheerleading means to me, I need to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm usually pretty quiet, and I've never been very social. I keep to myself the majority of the time. I think that's due to the fact that at one point in my childhood, I attended 5 different schools in 4 years. I never had felt a sense of belonging until I found cheerleading. Cheerleading has taught me so much about myself. It taught me how to stand tall and be confident. It taught me the meaning of teamwork. Without cheerleading, I have no idea where I'd be or what kind of person I'd be. My cheerleading experience at Marysville, all 5 years and 8 seasons of it, has shaped me as a young woman. My coaches have been amazing support systems and role models, and I'm so thankful to have basically grown up within the program. Even though I firmly believe that this tryout process had many flaws, I stand before you not because I expect for things to be reversed and to be given my spot back. I'm beginning to accept the fact that this will never happen. I'll never again get to do what I love. I'll never get to be out on that field again, cheering for the boys that I've grown up with, boys who are like brothers to me. I'll never get to walk down the field on senior night, arm in arm with my family. All of the countless hopes that I had, they're gone, and I've accepted that. Instead, I stand before you asking, begging, that this never has to happen to anyone again. A few simple policy changes could be the difference. I just hope that others can learn from my situation so that in the future, one person cannot determine a child's worth. Words cannot describe how difficult that was for me to have one woman tell me that I am not good enough to do what I love. And now without cheerleading, who was I? Cheerleading had been my heart and soul since I could remember. Where do I go from here, I found myself asking. And then I realized that this would be a defining moment in my life. I am more than a cheerleader. I am a young woman who speaks her mind and stands up for what she believes in. Sure, maybe I'm not out there on the sidelines anymore. That does not mean that I can't still be a role model for my community. I am not defined by a single title given to me by one sole being, and neither are these three strong and amazing girls that I have beside me. No one person can tell you your worth, and I won't tolerate knowing that my former coach could do this to future generations. I hope that this letter serves as a call to action, and I'm asking for some sort of remedy in response to all we've presented to you tonight. We have poured out our hearts, and this being our final plea, I can only hope that our stories will be heard. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think there's one. I have a Krista Perry.
Krista Perry, 745 West 7th Street.
Yes.
I just have little notes that jotted down because I just found out this was happening yesterday. So I guess I thought that I will state for the record, the coach that is in question is my sister. So I've known her my whole life. Some of the practices that are in question were put in place this year because in previous years, since the girls became freshmen who are in question, there wasn't that big of a participation in cheer. The old coach, Coach Harris, found that there was enough girls trying out, that there didn't necessarily need to be tryouts. She placed people on teams versus by their grade or their ability. This year, Carol ran into 50-plus girls who signed up at first. 48 tried out. There's just not enough spots. Unfortunately, she had to come up with a system. We had a parent meeting before clinics, before tryouts. This was heartbreaking to her. She said over and over, I know hearts are going to be broken. I know people are going to be so disappointed. I don't know how else to do it, but make it a tryout again, not just a placement. So she came up with a process. Yes, coaches' evaluations were part of it, 25%, one-fourth. Teacher evaluations, 25%, and the girls got to pick the three teachers that they would like to be evaluated by. Judging at tryouts, 50%. I'm sure it's flawed. I'm sure people see flaws. And I know that it wasn't set in stone. And I know that there's not policy, because this year something had to be put in place. I've known these girls, I've known these parents, since they're talking about seventh grade. It has put a divide in it. I get all that. But what I'm asking you to realize as you're going through all of your notes that you have in front of you is that the one person that they keep coming back at tried to do her best. It was a first time out of the gate, too many people. I also want to say, I know we have coaches, parents who've been here before. We've all been in a situation where cuts had to be made. Not everybody makes the team. Hearts are broken. But they're made based, it's very objective, especially if you're a football coach or a baseball coach. There's not tryouts. You don't bring in other football coaches to sit and watch and have them pick your team, you pick your team. Unfortunately, that subjectivity sometimes gets clouded, and you need someone to blame. All I'm asking is if you're going to look at all of it, look at the process, emotion, you can't take out of it, it's going to be there, it's cheerleading for God's sakes, it's going to be in there. But don't just blame it on emotions. Look at everything that you have about it. Look at everything in the past. Pull it all together. I know it's hard, but as Bailey said too, it's also a very defining moment. It's a huge defining moment. How are you going to handle disappointment? How are you going to handle setback? What's next in your life? What great things are there for you to achieve? There's a lot more to it than just cheerleading and defamating character. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I know we very much appreciate everybody's courage for standing up and the passion that goes along with this situation. And I don't know if you have any more.
I would just say, first of all, hats off to the four of you. It's not easy to at any time stand in front of any group of people and talk about anything, let alone to stand up and talk about something that you're passionate about and has been so much a part of your life and your being. And certainly, you're here today because of the people sitting behind you, too, you know, mm-hmm. that support system that they've provided to make you the courageous, strong young ladies, I think you said, but almost women, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are sitting here this evening. It's never easy when there's a tryout situation. It's never easy when the cut has to be made. I have forwarded to the board the evaluation process and materials so that you could review that as well. I have heard a couple process issues that I have made note of and can look into as well, and promise to do that and follow up with parents individually. I'm not going to promise a group meeting or anything like that, but I will promise you that I will follow up on some things. I need to go back through and make sense of what I was saying because some of you are writing, but certainly concern about not following protocol. Certainly, I do have score sheets for all people impacted and do understand that the scale was 25 evaluation, 25 coach evaluation, 25 teacher evaluation, and 50, I guess you'd say, skill-based or tryout-based. But I will look into those kind of lingering pieces and call parents probably next week, if that's fair enough. Understand, I think you all articulated you're looking for remedy, but I think you also said you know that you know you might not be back on the team, and I don't want to you to leave here and think that the board or the superintendent is going to say, hey, they're back on the team, but we will look into the things that you brought forward and report back to you and move forward from there.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment too, but I could wait. Say a comment now, or
if you'd like, sure. Go ahead.
I also wanted to thank you, everybody who spoke, the students and the parents, and yourself. And I hadn't heard about any of this until this week, so I think this is one of the ways that you can help inform us is coming and speaking. And I don't know what's going to come out of this. I just wanted to tell you that I did listen, and I'm concerned. And we're going to follow up, but I don't know what's going to come out of it. But I do thank you for coming and presenting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Right. Next item is we need a motion to approve minutes from our prior meeting.
So moved.
Mrs. Powers' motion. You have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Luke. Roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. The motion carries.
I would tell you, you're not all required to stay. I know you've been here a very long time. But if you want to leave, feel free to do so. We love for you to be here. It's never this packed, but wish it was for something different. But if you need to go, it's not offensive to us.
Thank you guys again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can I look for this real quick and I'll give it back to you?
Yeah.
I left one of my
I don't think she had the opportunity to speak. Actually, I'm right here, and I got to get.
Oh, oops! I'm sorry.
I can give you that.
Well, I'm gonna,
Go.
I'm sorry, Alana.
No, that's okay. Go back.
No, when the girls went in their different order, I guess I.
But I mean, I just want to reiterate the same thing that happened to my daughter. She is a competition cheerleader since she was in second grade. Her team 4% in the United States, and she can't make the high school.
Yeah, we'll give you. You have the offer. I mean, you signed up and you have the right to be here.
Yeah.
So let's do that.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I missed one person when the girls mixed up their order. I accidentally skipped one. So I'm very sorry. We have Alana Foltz.
Hold on. I got to get my notes.
Okay. Yes.
I knew a lot of the issues were going to be discussed right. mm-hmm. By the girls, and I wanted to give all the senior girls a chance.
Right.
My daughter, she is not a senior. There's another girl who wasn't able to come tonight who is in the same boat as her. They were good enough before. Now all of a sudden they're not. My daughter, going to be a junior, did not put down JV. Had she put down JV, yes, she would have made it. She would have been probably the top score. Her score with the waste judge, the score is now, the lowest varsity score was 560, and my daughter was 7 points away from that. I asked, because there was no set number of girls per squad before the tryouts. So where do you make the cutoff? If you look at any of the other Division I schools, they have lots more girls than us. We have we pretty much have the fewest girls. Jonathan Otter has more cheerleaders than we do. I asked when I went to the meeting with the coaches and the athletic director, where did you make the cutoff? They're like, well, saw a big discrepancy in scores. I'm sorry, 7 points isn't a big discrepancy, especially when my daughter was given a below C, almost D on coach's evaluation, and the other one was an F. My daughter has cheered before. She was given no inclination whatsoever that she was an awful cheerleader by any of the coaches. And she attended everything. She made everything. She went to all of the events. They did not like the fact that she was a competition cheerleader. She can tumble. She can do most things that most of the girls on the team that made varsity cannot do. I was told by one of the cheerleading advisor, my daughter was a subpar cheerleader. Her cheerleading team that she belongs to in Columbus, they just went to Disney World to the World Series of Cheerleading. They are the top 4% in the United States. And she cannot make Marysville's high school cheerleading squad. Relationship of coaches, that bothers me tremendously. For me, Carol is a neighbor. Our sons are best friends. This is very hard for me. I don't think it's right that she has so many of her friends, her daughter's friends. If you look at some of the girls that made varsity and their backgrounds, and they're not positive role models, a few of them. Some of them have been arrested, suspended, and everything else. The judges' scores sheets, I asked for my daughter's score sheet. I finally got it at our meeting. My other daughter, who was a freshman, she tried out. It took me 3 weeks to get her judges' sheets. Let's see. The meeting, I did call the assistant coach and asked her, why did you give my daughter such a low score? You know, my daughter really looked up to you. She actually used to coach my daughter for competition cheer years ago. And she could not give me any valuable feedback. I have been a high school coach myself 5 years. I actually coached here in Marysville. I would have never have done tryouts the way they were done. I would have never have... I would have died to have a daughter... or a girl like my daughter on the team. And I'm not just saying that because it's my daughter. I'm saying it because I know what she can do versus some of the girls that are on this team. Let's see, what else? The number of girls on the floor, the policies and procedures that were followed, that really bothers me. When I talked to the other coach, she told me that Carol called her on Saturday morning. She had to miss a Easter dinner because they had to go back over the score sheets. Well, if it was double and triple checked prior to going to the girls on Friday night, why was there a girl called on Saturday and said she all of a sudden made the varsity squad? Also, there was a mandatory meeting for the girls and the parents prior to tryouts. The young coach's daughter did not show up. There were several girls that did not show up for this mandatory meeting, but yet were still allowed to try out. They are on the varsity, and some of them are on JV squad. We missed things that night, so we could attend. Also, in the handbook that we were given that night, it says no spotting would be allowed. The day before tryouts, all of a sudden spotting was going to be allowed for tumbling. I just would like for you guys to kind of look into the procedures. My daughter... she would love to cheer for Marysville High School. At this point, she has no interest anymore. It's been ruined. Thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you. Thank you. And I apologize for missing you in that original
lineup.
That's okay. Lineup,
so I thought I was before some of them. But
you were, I know. But thank you.
And I didn't have an organized note, but
it's all right.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We are on to item 10, to approve the Treasurer CFO action items. We need a motion. I'll motion approval of the Treasurer CFO action items. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Smith. Roll call, please.
Ms. Devine.
Oops, wait a second. Do we have any discussion?
Discussion.
Do we have any discussion on this? I'm sorry. Pretty much this would include the five-year forecast. Mm-hmm. And the appropriations, a few adjustments in the appropriations. So, I'm sorry.
I guess one note on the appropriations, too. I mean, you're probably getting used to seeing this with some additional funding once again for straight A grants. So, more good news there.
Right. Okay.
And I really appreciate all the time and effort you put in on the five-year forecast. And again, I want to let you know how much I appreciate you providing me the clarity to begin to understand all those numbers and columns and lines and all that stuff. So thank you very much.
Okay, roll call now.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Motion carries. All right, item 11, approving the resolution between Marysville School District and City of Marysville. Do we have a motion to approve this resolution? I'll make that motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Luke. Discussion. I know we do have Mr. Emery and Ms.
Chavarria
here in case we do have some questions for them. So this first one, let's see. This is the Meyer TIF. Okay. So again, I know we had our workshop and had some nice information by Mr. Johnson provided to us. I know this is, they're pulling in that Meyer parcel that was originally not included in the TIF.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. I would only state, and of course I wasn't here in 2004, but I've actually done a little research. I don't know what happened in 2004, but I think the original intent was for it to be included. I'm not quite sure why it was left out. It may have been for one of two reasons. Either it was left out and nobody realized it at the time, because it takes time for things to develop and get to where we are today, or it was because it was a church property. Either one of those two reasons were the only reasons. But we looked back at some maps that were originally prepared at that time, and it was shown to be included in those maps, with the parcels included as a part of that. So
maps before the...
In 2004.
Some of the earlier maps showed that it was included. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it shows all the numbers of all the land owners, and it has the parcels listed.
Mm-hmm.
And so for whatever reason, and obviously until you get 10 years beyond and then you recognize that, That's something here, but it is what it is. So
right.
That's why we're gonna.
Okay. And I know one thing we had talked about was just that idea of sharing in some way, you know, sharing taxes and stuff. And I know we've been working on partnerships.
Absolutely.
We also talked about whether or not it could potentially be 10 years versus 20 years. And, you know, so I don't know if there have been any.
We've talked as an administration from the mayor, myself, and Jenny's been included, and we've had some discussions on various options. I think at this time we're interested in keeping the 20-year.
Mm-hmm.
However, we also realize that it might be valuable in 10 years for us to revisit.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there could be something even put in an agreement moving forward, because even administrations change and people change.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The
right.
performance of the TIF could show us something at that time.
Right.
So maybe we can just put something in that we'll revisit in 10 years and maybe look at it at that time. But we'd still like to keep the 20-year concept and just denote that we'll get together at that time. I'm not even opposed to even revisiting things throughout
right.
the process.
Well, you think about what school funding was like back in 2004 yes. versus now. I mean, there's been a huge change
Absolutely.
In that, you know, and who knows what's going to happen over the next 10 years. So,
so we understand
right.
your interest, and I think, you know, we're seeing things now even in development mm-hmm. all over that we're as busy as we've been in a long, right. long time, and I don't see anything really slowing down
right
now. So it might be worthwhile to revisit
right.
and just discuss the performance of it.
I mean, I think it's important to note that, you know, that when you have that commercial development, it's bringing in tax dollars that are supporting the city and the school,
Absolutely.
But it's not bringing in additional students.
Right.
So it's not putting additional burden on our services. So there's a little bit of a payoff there versus residential, you know, development. And I think it's important to look at the partnerships that we've developed. And I know that you continue to work together.
And, I want to say, you know, a couple things that, you know, this is my first opportunity to be before the board. Mm-hmm. And the working relationships, and I have to, Superintendent Mankins and working with her and her staff. Mm-hmm. I'm in meetings weekly mm-hmm. With staff, and it's just fabulous. And mm-hmm. we are really excited about the partnerships and mm-hmm. the benefits for the city and the schools. And,
right.
and obviously, we have the county involved in those partnerships as well. And this is kind of an indication of even that, as you said. This is mm-hmm. Another indication.
Yeah. Well, also, I wanted to mention that, and I'm not sure the year, I think it was 2006. I was trying to flip back to mm-hmm. an earlier email, but mm-hmm. there was an agreement where the school district, the city, I believe the county, came up with general guidelines
yes.
that they were going to...
It was an economic development plan.
Yes, yes. That's it. And, you know, the city, the county, and the school district all signed on that and said this is, you know, for people coming in and looking to bring industry and business in Marysville,
yeah.
this is what we will do, and this is how we as governments will work together to try to be attractive to them. And so... this TIF and also the next resolution, I believe, are kind of extensions of that spirit of cooperation and work. So.
I totally mm-hmm. agree. Totally.
But just to be clear, what we're voting on now is the 20 years.
Yes.
What you guys right. are talking about is just talk.
Revisiting in 10 years.
But that's,
right. Right.
That's
there's
not
nothing.
What
right.
No.
That is not what we're voting on.
I guess what we would be willing to make a commitment to is if something needs to be put in place between us, that we would revisit to look at the performance and look at the status of it at that time, mm-hmm. maintain the 20-year, but mm-hmm. understand that, you know, I may not be in my position and people
right,
may not,
right, right.
but it might
Looks
cause
like not.
Us to come together and still say, okay, and I think we need to put that in, that it's just a mm-hmm. balance check to see, mm-hmm. you know, what's happening, and we're willing to do that. Mm-hmm. But we do want to maintain the 20 years.
Right.
Well, for me, the three things that are persuasive, one, it does look like it was a mistake to leave mm-hmm. it out. Even though a number of people that I've talked to, a lot of people basically say, I'm not sure what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it does look like most likely it was a mistake at the time to leave it out. Secondly, this cooperation that we're trying to do. And thirdly, the numbers that Todd ran for us show mm-hmm. it's actually not that huge of amount of money for the schools, at least in my opinion.
And I think, looking forward thinking, I think mm-hmm. What we're going to see out of this in the long term is
it's going to benefit all of us.
Right.
Of us. Right. Yeah. It really will. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Can we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. And yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, I think we're all set. Thank you very much
Thank
for
you.
Being here. Number 12 is the I guess I could have kept him here, but I don't think we have any questions. But the Enterprise Zone Tax Revenue Sharing Agreement. So we need a motion to approve that resolution. between Heritage and the city school tax sharing agreement and the enterprise zone agreement.
So moved.
Mrs. Powers, we have a second.
Second.
Mr. Smith, any discussion on this? And I think you kind of hit on it, Dick. Yeah. That, I mean, that whole concept of everybody coming together and giving up a little bit and sharing to help with the development.
Yeah. And I think it's important for us to acknowledge that we recognize that this is a situation where there might be some additional funds to the school, but the school, the city, the townships, the county all need to work together. And I feel strongly that all of us are either going to move forward together or we're going to struggle. And what we're being asked to do, for me, is not easy.
Right.
And in our earlier discussions, I think I've made that clear. This is not easy. But I do it with a sense of confidence that at some point in the future, the community will step forward, other governments will step forward, and help us meet our needs.
Mm-hmm.
That the cooperation will go in both directions.
Mm-hmm. Right. And these developments, without these developments, we're talking about pretty minimal property tax revenue,
yeah.
And so again, it's kind of like, is the glass half full or is it half empty?
Right.
Yes, we are giving up some, but with the development, we're gaining much more than we ever would have dreamed of receiving. So,
absolutely, in jobs and economic growth and in the community, conveniences and so forth that residents have, there's clearly a tremendous benefit.
Right.
From this cooperation,
that's right. There's
always
it's not as much as yet. You have to give up a little bit. So yeah, right. Okay, I think we're ready for a roll call.
Ms. Powers,
yes.
Mr. Smith,
yes.
Mr. Luke,
yes.
Ms. Devine,
yes. Motion carries. Okay, we now need a motion to approve our revised school board protocols.
So moved.
Mrs. Powers, I'll second that. And any discussion? I just want to make a brief comment that when Mrs. Powers and I first started 2 years ago, we thought it was important to come up with protocol so that we would function effectively as a board. And so when we had three new members come on, we said, I think we need to revisit this, see if there's anything that needs some tweaking. And one area that we thought needed tweaking was communications and chain of command. And so we actually added a new section for that to really highlight that.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was helpful to go through all those. Is that something that we're going to maybe do annually? Or
I think, yes. I mean, that's probably our next step, is to come up with our goals and objectives and evaluate ourselves.
Okay.
And so that would definitely be one of those items. So.
I think it helps me to see my role and also focus on the tasks and responsibilities that I have. So
okay. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Motion carries. Okay, items 14, 1, 2, 3, and 4. We need a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Mr. Smith? Second? All second? Unless, did somebody else?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, discussion?
Well, certainly we have quite a few things on here this evening, so I'm going to try to step through. First of all, in the first section, employment of new district staff. Actually, it's kind of exciting if I could introduce. Would you like to stand up?
Oh.
All right. He is our new Japanese teacher, so at the high school and or middle school, however that works out. She's actually certified in both Japanese and Russian. Russian is her native language. So nice. Certainly welcome her aboard. I was excited to see you out there. I didn't see you at first, so I apologize. You were so young, I thought you were one of the kids. So, so we're certainly happy, dynamic young teacher, very talented, enthused about the language and immersing kids in the language. A study abroad as just a talented person. We're pretty fortunate to get on staff. So thanks for being here tonight. I appreciate
Welcome.
It.
Yeah. Nice to
Okay.
Of course, we haven't voted yet now.
No, I'm sorry. Pending board approval. I'd like to introduce you. How's that? I apologize. Volunteer lists, and then as well in 14.3 is a list of high school graduates. That's always exciting to see. I always try to qualify that with pending the end of the school year. That's projected graduates, so we hope everyone finishes strong. As well as strategic plan. We shared in a work session the district's, I'm going to call it strategic direction maybe instead of strategic plan, because I really feel like while it is a plan, it's loose enough to allow us some leeway and latitude. Mm-hmm. So it provides us a direction for where we're headed. Certainly, we spent a lot of time talking through that with Andy. Mm-hmm. Boy. A month ago, probably. Mm-hmm. So excited to get that on there. We also have increase in meal prices at the in the district. I had sent you information on that. We can talk about that a little bit, and as well, Joanne's here if you have any questions. But we have not had an increase since 2008, and she's suggesting a 15-cent increase across the board. Certainly, as you've seen Joanne come here before, our food service program runs in the black and is self-sustaining, actually purchases all their own equipment and upgrades the kitchens, and
they're amazing.
She does a fantastic job. She gave us the update on the color of, you know, foods we needed to be eating last year. We all didn't like the green ones, if I remember right. So, as well as increasing the sub-cook pay, that is not a position that had an increase in the past, so we're increasing that so it's at a little more competitive in the marketplace for the people in that position. You also have handbooks from every building in the district, and including student fees across the board for next year.
And I don't think you want to forget our resignations. I don't think you want to forget those, do you?
I do not.
No, didn't know if you wanted to do a separate thing for that. I know. Well, there's several people in there.
There are several people. Do you want me to go ahead and do that now?
You were going to do it some... Is that in a later place? I thought it's in here.
It's in here.
Yeah.
I just have to find the right page.
I've been working with Tina LaRocque on this scholarship stuff, and I was going to call her and tell her I wasn't going to approve it. So.
That's
You're
right.
stuck here.
Okay,
no.
I'm not finding my page. Okay. Certainly, we have several people leaving who have been with us quite some time. Retirement of Bev Staley, English teacher at high school. So certainly wish her well in her future plans. As you mentioned, Tina LaRocque, who's kind of been, when I emailed her, I said, you're always taking pictures. I see you everywhere taking pictures of kids. And she said, well, that won't stop. I was doing that before I came here. Mm-hmm. Certainly a great opportunity with her at the Board of Elections. Mill Valley Principal, Mr. L, we were there last month, actually has the opportunity to be the principal 4 miles from his house. He said, Diane, I would actually put less miles on my car in 1 week than I do 1 day coming to Marysville, so it's kind of hard to compete with that as well. We actually, Emily Latham is making a switch from Northwood to Creekview, so she'll be taking on a different position in the district. And certainly, Andy, who's already left this evening, has been a valuable piece in our transition the past 2 years, and super excited for his opportunities at Grandview, but definitely disappointed for Marysville. I do believe we're a better place because of the influence he's had, and wish him well in his endeavors as a superintendent.
Definitely.
It's certainly exciting for Andy to move to the job, and I know he's excited about that opportunity, and you know, it's also nice when you see teachers that leave to go into retirement, and you wish that they have a long and very happy and successful retirement. So.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's a big section tonight.
I know. It is a big section, you know. And I mean, I think about the strategic plan, and it makes me think about Andy because I know he was so much a part of working on that. And I'm excited about the strategic plan or direction, whatever you want to call it. Just no more revisions, okay?
No more revisions.
Yeah, but it's so simple. That's what I like about it. It's very, you know, what is it, about 8 pages or something, and so I love it.
I like the fact, looking at that student performance is our first goal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That all right. Really needs to be our first priority.
I think, are we ready for a roll call? All right.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Let's see. Comments and questions from board members. I don't know if we have anything
now
left or not.
Yes,
sorry. Congratulations. Yes, and welcome. I'm sorry. Yes. I look forward to stopping by your classroom sometime.
I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Just the beginning of this community. So
right.
And you have so many opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have a lot of new speakers here. You have people that can volunteer.
Right. That's great.
Nice to meet you.
Any additional comments?
Yes. I had an opportunity to go to the National Honor Society induction, and Dr. Susan Kokas and Nancy White and Catherine Boylan did a nice job in giving the NHS graduating seniors the opportunity to lead the ceremony. I think that's always a nice part of it, is that the advisors, everybody steps back, and the whole thing is done, orchestrated, planned, and carried out by the students. So that was very nice. And I also want to say I hope to make Pride Day.
Good.
May not be there for the initial push, but I'll try to get there.
Stop by sometime.
Yeah, I was going to try to. Because there's some in the morning and some in the afternoon, so I was going to try to bridge punch out a little bit. So
great.
Should be. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to give you a little update on our Start Talking.
Great.
Okay. We now have everything put into action. Mm-hmm. We are now going to start talking with parents at events. Really exciting. In fact, this week we kind of put the push on. Mm-hmm. 2 sessions were tonight, which mm-hmm. we kind of had to fill in because the dates got mixed up, and also at the awards thing at the high school tonight. So we actually had 3.
Great.
Okay, 3 speaking of it tonight. Mm-hmm. Very exciting, and I think that as we draw these parents in and we really start, as we have found out, that if parents will talk to their children about the drug epidemic and what is going on, mm-hmm. it's a proven fact that 50% of the drug situation is cut. So really, really excited about that for our district, and we finally have got it put into motion and moving forward.
That's so wonderful.
It's awesome.
Okay.
Just wanted to thank everybody for their participation. Thank you, Mr. Langhouse, for your presentation and hospitality.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know, Mr. Johnson. Any comments?
Is that enough?
Okay.
Just want to congratulate the seniors again. Tonight was their award ceremony, but also they had awards program this morning. Certainly outstanding kids doing a lot of outstanding work is a great representation of Marysville School. Yes. So super proud of them, and the sky's the limit, really. And I remember graduation on Saturday.
Not this Saturday. Yeah, don't show up this Saturday, right?
Right. But we're excited to get that underway. The year's wrapping up well. Mr. L, once again, your data work is amazing and has been incredibly impactful for the students here at Edgewood, and appreciate the hard work that you and your staff have been involved in to push things forward for the students.
Yeah, and I'll second that. You know, I mean, we just see it in every building. You know, it's like it starts that excitement at the top, and when the teachers are excited, the students are excited, and lots of great learning takes place, so appreciate your leadership. And I don't have anything else to say either. I said way too much tonight. So do we have a motion to adjourn?
So.
Mrs. Powers, second.
Second.
Mr. Luke. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Meeting is adjourned at 9:21. Thank you.
Thank you.